Welcome to We Sing Our Faith, sharing the music and ministry of today's Catholic recording artists. I am your host, Julie Carrick, and it is my privilege to share my fellow artists with you.
Welcome to We Sing Our Faith this weekend. And, you know, it's going to feel like a little bit of a disjointed episode, but stay with me. We're going to have a couple of focuses here that really make a lot of sense when we see the big picture. On Morning Joy this week, we were talking about the beautiful life of St. Pius X and what an amazing pope he was, and this beautiful St. Pius X, right? Canonized in 1954. Like, wow, he was actually canonized by Pope Pius XII. How cool is that? He lived from 1835 to 1914 and is known for his incredibly deep love of the Eucharist. He is famous for lowering the age of the reception of Holy Communion so that children as young as 7 could receive their first Holy Communion, and for all of us to receive more often. Just an amazing person. And there's so much more. One of the other things that he did was he pulled together during his papacy a massive project to update the laws of the church, known now as canon law. He ordered the creation of the first ever comprehensive and unified code of canon law. Before his papacy, church rules were scattered across thousands of confusing, overlapping documents, but his work created the modern single volume legal framework for our Catholic Church. Now, that might sound like, you know, law, man's law. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the rules by which all Catholics live by, given to us by God, much like the beautiful Ten Commandments were given for everyone, so that knowing what is expected of us, we actually live in closer union with God. Therefore, the beauty of the church and her teachings given to us by God really needed to be put together so that it was understood by everyone. Now, it was sad in that this massive work that Pope Pius X began, he didn't actually live to see the project finished. The new code was officially completed and published by his successor, Pope Benedict XV, in 1917 and put into effect in 1918 and is commonly known as Pio Benedictine Code. So it was this massive 2,414 canon book that replaced almost all of the previous church laws. Now, why do I bring this up today? And what does this have to do with both the life of St. Pius X, marriage, and schism? Well, when we think of those who are currently not in union with us, and there's an organization or a group of people called the Society of Pius X, that's not literally by St. Pius X. That's not his group. It's a group of people that love him. They loved his holiness. They loved the beauty of those rich traditions of our faith, but they are not in union with the Catholic Church. And so there's been this breakaway, which is so incredibly sad. And when we were talking about this, as I said yesterday on Morning Joy, it really gave this powerful image when they said, how would you describe this? And I said, I would describe it as a marriage. Like, how do we have this phenomenal gift of grace and God's presence and a sacrament and something that is intended to be permanent forever, a marriage, you know, until death do us part, right? And yet when there is brokenness in a marriage today, sadly, we see these statistics of divorce so much higher than ever before. And so my thought was, let's do a show where we talk about different aspects of what began as the one holy Catholic apostolic church, the Catholic Church, over 2,000 years ago, founded by Jesus Christ himself, and what caused people to break away. What were those things that were such a hard brokenness, or where was the damage within that caused people to literally walk away instead of staying in and fighting the good fight to stay together. So we're going to begin with a song that my husband and I had such a joy to record quite a few years ago, written by Paul Stuckey of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and so graciously given to full public domain because they want this shared as much as possible. And when we recorded it, it was such a joy to my heart to have Paul's family listen to the recording and give it a thumbs up. So from me, your host, and my husband, Kurt, The Wedding Song.
He is now to be among you at the calling of your hearts. Rest assured, this troubadour is acting on his part. The union of your spirits here has caused him to remain forever to. Gathered in his name, there is love, there is love.
When we talk about brokenness within our church and the way that so many different factions have broken away, and not just broken away, but then formed their own religion, so to speak, we see hundreds and hundreds of different Christian religions all across the world, all across the entire world, each claiming ours is the right way. This is the right way. You all are wrong because this, that, and the other. When we look back to see, like in a marriage, like literally like within a marriage, where was the brokenness? What caused the division that was so big that it was better to divorce than to work on whatever the issue was? There's no issue so great that God cannot heal it. And it is his heart that we are all one people within one holy Catholic apostolic church given by Christ himself. And the blessing of remaining within the family of a sacrament life, baptism, confirmation, first communion, marriages, holy orders, the blessing of those who are ill, and of course, the priesthood itself, that apostolic succession, that when we pull ourselves away because of a discord, because of a disagreement that we feel we're going to stand so strongly on, that we will literally remove ourselves from belonging to the family of Christ, that's a sad brokenness. So when we turn it around, when we come back and we say, it would be better to work it out, to find that commonality, the common ground that will eventually bring us all back under one roof. Oh my goodness. How much joy is God himself going to feel when that happens for all of his people? And that's going to take us to our next song today. I love the music and the ministry of Connie Salazar. She is a wonderful woman of faith, and her beautiful rendition of the song, It Will Be Worth It All, fits perfectly right here today. So from Connie Salazar, It Will Be Worth It All.
It will be worth it all someday. It will have been worth it to go the straight and narrow way. When we finally see his face and feel his strong embrace, it will be worth it all someday. These present troubles don't compare to all the glory our God he has prepared. When we finally see his face and feel his strong grace, it will be worth it all that day. When we finally see it will be worth it all that day. I can hear the angels celebrate as he calls my name.
You know, it was quite a few years ago, my husband and I, if you can believe, within a marriage that's now almost 43 years in the loving grace and sacrament presence of God, can you believe that we actually had an argument once? Okay, could you believe that we had an argument once a day for a number of years? That's probably more realistic. But this one day, we had one of those arguments. And right now, in this moment, I couldn't even tell you what the argument was about. But in my position, right, I wanted to be right. And of course, Kurt in his position, he wanted to be right. And so here we are in this discord for literally no reason. And as I looked into his face that day, and I'm thinking to myself, why am I not seeing the face of God looking back at me? This is a baptized man of faith. He is confirmed in the Catholic Church. He regularly goes to the beautiful sacrament of reconciliation and the Eucharist. And we're married, for heaven's sakes, in the sacrament. So why am I not seeing from this Christian man the face of God looking back at me? And the reality is, I wasn't looking for the face of God. I was looking to win an argument. And that made me pause and to sit down and say, you know what? I do see the face of God within my husband, and I pray that he sees the face of God when he sees him shining through my eyes. And so wherever you are listening today, I pray that this song will resonate with you, that we will put down our defenses and look into the lives of those in our that God has allowed us to share life with, in our families, in our faith communities, in our city, state, and country, and world, and see the face of God instead of demanding to be right and continuing the discord. So from me, your host, Julie Carrick, the face of God.
Close at night, I feel his arms around me as you hold me tight. I see him in the morning when I rise and see your face. Because of you, I know of God's grace. Eyes.
just joined us today on We Sing Our Faith, I am your host, Catholic recording artist, author, and mission presenter, Julie Carrick. It is a privilege to share the beauty of our Catholic faith in music, in song, and the teachings of our faith with many of today's recording artists. For information about each and every one of us, please visit WeSingOurFaith.org. WeSingOurFaith.org. That's the site. The toll-free number is 1-888-880-6874, and we are here to connect you. Now, as we continue along this journey today of this idea that there is such a discord with all of these different groups around the world, all claiming to be the truth, to claim to be the faith, and how do we find that first commonality? Well, I think the first commonality that we all need to understand is that we each are called to a life with Jesus Christ because each and every one of us needs to be saved. We are saved initially in our baptism, right? When the removal of that original sin is taken away from us. And then how do we continually reach out? How do we say to Christ, can I be saved? Am I worth saving? And we realize that within the beauty of the Catholic Church, every gift of grace is present so that, yes, when we ask the question, can I be saved? We know the answer is yes, that God wants us so badly that he sent his son to redeem us. And that when we belong within the fullness of the truth, we eventually go home to our God. So from a dear friend here in the valley, Chris Mulia, his wonderful song, Can I Be Saved?
Son of God died on a wooden cross for me. What does it mean if he gave his life, if he was sacrificed for me? What does it mean? Can I be saved? Forgiven? Can I find rest for my soul? Amazing grace, how sweet it sounds. Can you say
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your beautiful ministry. You know, when I think about the brokenness, groups like the Society of St. Pius X, groups like the brokenness between the Eastern Church, the Orthodox Church, the Roman Church, all of the non-denominational Christian churches, there's Methodist and Lutheran and Episcopal and all of these different faiths that all are so divided. It has become so broken that it must break our Father's heart when he looks down from heaven to see this broken, broken church. Each of us standing on our ground, not wanting to give, when we can in humility, which is one of the most beautiful teachings of the Catholic Church. The most beautiful teaching of our beautiful Catholic Church is that we are called to humility. We are called to humility. We are not God. God is God. We are blessed in that he reveals himself in every one of the sacraments. He is revealed in his scripture, in the full scripture, all the books of the Bible together to give us his perfect and beautiful word and teaching. And then to receive him so powerfully in the Eucharist. And again, we are so grateful to St. Pius X for bringing that age down to young people. And encouraging us to often receive Jesus Christ in the Eucharistic embrace. And that is only found within the Holy Catholic Church to receive him. Meanwhile, pulling out and demanding to be heard and to demand all of these differences only shows how much more broken the full Christian church is, instead of coming together under one roof again. And Liz Owen, our dear, dear friend from Grand Rapids, Michigan, what a phenomenal composer and singer and woman of faith she is. And when she wrote her song, Broken Song, it just resonates with what we are talking about today, that to move past the brokenness, to come together, that somehow we move past the brokenness and we find those things that divide and get rid of them so that we can together be together. We are so much stronger when we are together than when we are apart. And you're going to hear that toward the end of this piece. So again, wherever you are listening today, take a moment and pause. Let the words of this song by Liz Owen resonate. And allow yourself that place of humility to say, God, if I have separated myself from your church, give me the humility to come back and no longer be part of the brokenness, but part of the healing. From Liz Owen, Broken Song.
We're a broken church, so bruised by sin, and we can't self-heal all the pain we're in. So let's stand together and raise our sound and shout to God till heaven comes down. Sing with an out-of-tune ring, with a shaky voice, sing, let the truth be spoken. We cry out bruised and broken, sing with an out of tune ring, all the world echoing, let our voices open. We sing a broken song. Yeah. Shaky voices.
The beauty of it, like, I mean, the beauty of that song just resonates. We are a broken church, and yet there is such a power when we turn back to God, when we seek His forgiveness, when in humility we come back and we say, Lord, for those times that I have deliberately turned away from your teaching, I am sorry. You know, I have said for decades now, since I've been in ministry, when it first began and since this time that my husband has joined over 20 years ago and we've done this ministry together, I said, I want to design a t-shirt line that says Catholicism is not for wimps, right? Those beautiful laws, those beautiful rules that we see in our catechism and in that beautiful code of canon law that allows us to say, what is it God wants? Not what does Julie want in her way today, but what does God want for Julie? What does God want for each and every one of us? And how do we come back to the fullness of that truth if we aren't willing to humble ourselves and ask God's forgiveness and accept His invitation to come home? It's powerful. It is powerful, and it's beautiful, and it's healing, and it resolves. And just like a marriage that suffered a blow, and instead of giving in to what the world would say, just divorce and start over. The world, of course, wants divorce, because every single household, when it divides in two, becomes more of a materialistic gain for the world and a loss for those souls. Because now, instead of it being one house with one furnace and one AC unit and one refrigerator and one washer dryer set and one set of clothing for the children, now it's divided into two houses. So there's double everything. And who's happy about that? Commercialism, materialism, the world, because it's against God. When we can come back under one roof, when a family draws back together under one roof and we seek that forgiveness and we find that incredible presence of God in that healing aspect of forgiveness. Imagine if every marriage came back together, so families came back together, healed and freed from the division and the sin that caused that brokenness to begin with. When that can happen with our church, when we come back under one roof to be that one holy Catholic and apostolic church again, the beauty of forgiveness, asking our Father to forgive us for those things that have kept us divided, as we reach across the aisle to each other, both to ask for forgiveness and to offer that forgiveness. What an amazing thing our world will experience when Christians can reunite. And so that's going to take us to our next beautiful song today. This is from a lovely couple from Florida, Out of Darkness. Their incredible, beautiful ministry has given us the song that we're going to share today now, Father, Forgive. Sense of asking our Father to forgive us, when we will humble ourselves and come before the loving God, that incredible God who is our Creator, who sent His Son as our Savior, and then did not leave us alone after His incredible life of ministry, after His passion and death and resurrection. He did not leave us alone, because before his passion. He, in that upper room with his 12, gave us the perpetual gift of himself in the Eucharist when he said, "Take and eat, this is my flesh. Take and drink, this is my blood." And when he gave that to Peter, the first pope, and he said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against it, this church that I am giving you the keys, that this church that I'm telling you, build this church on the rock, and this rock will not be shaken." It didn't say that the gates of hell wouldn't try. It said that it would not prevail. And right now, I feel like in so many ways, we are in that sense of the gates of hell trying to break it apart. And it's tried hard for these past, 500 plus years. And so to come back together would be such an amazing thing. And why do we draw together? Why do we come together as Christians? Why do we come together as Catholics at Mass to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, to hear his word proclaimed, and so that we will worship him and him alone, so that we will worship, that we will praise you, God? You know, the words that we're going to go to next in this song by Sarah Hart, and she is one of the OCP, the Oregon Catholic Press composers, alongside of her ministry. This song, "So We Will Worship," has the perfect phrase in it throughout the refrain. "So we will praise you. We have been chosen. Nothing can change what you have made. God alone has given us the beauty of the Catholic faith, the perfect gifts of the sacraments found within, and the way of living our life in a way that draws us into the perfect beauty of a life someday with God in heaven." And so, again, one of our wonderful friends and great contributors of music for We Sing Our Faith is our friend Sarah Hart, and now her song, "So We Will Worship."
Try to prove won't change us.
Again, I want to say thank you for staying with me today on this episode. For information about each and every one of the artists whose music and ministry we share, please visit WeSingOurFaith.org. WeSingOurFaith.org. That's the site. The toll-free number is 1-888-880-6874. And we are here to connect you. And you know, to bring these wonderful teachings to parishes around the country, I really look forward to all of the places that have already scheduled for me to come out this fall and into the Advent season and already next year all the way through Lent. But we've got a couple of dates yet, and I would love to come to your parish. So please give us a call at 1-888-880-6874, and I would love to come and bring a wonderful parish mission or evening of reflection on these beautiful truths of our Catholic faith. And of course, there'll be some wonderful music to share with it as well. And now, as we have our final focus today that's going to take us to the top of the hour, I want to just share one last beautiful thing, because this week, as I said, just this week, we had this lovely day honoring St. Pius X, and he was a wonderful man of God. The beauty of what he gave us in pulling together all of these beautiful teachings and laws of the Catholic Church and to bring them together in one document known as the Code of Canon Law. And of course, the beauty of the Eucharist, the beauty of the Eucharist, and the way that for many, many years, we didn't have the privilege of going as often. And so when he said we need to lower the age, and that the age of reason for children, if we are responsible at the age of 7 to know right from wrong, why wouldn't we need that beautiful, powerful gift of carrying within us Jesus Christ himself, to be able to carry body, blood, soul, and divinity, Jesus Christ, in the Eucharistic embrace? What more powerful strength would we have than to have him physically present in us, so that as we are now culpable of knowing what is right and wrong, to have the strength of carrying Jesus in us so that we will always seek to do what is right. And to not only seek it, but to desire it and to want to be in that place of right order with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with God our Father. And the focus of this brokenness in our world, from far too many people separating from the beauty of the full Catholic Church, wants so badly right now for the song that will be the one that will take us to the top of the hour, is an old, old hymn, At That First Eucharist. The powerful lyric of this song, At That First Eucharist, O Lord, before you died, O Lord, you prayed that all be one in you. And at this our Eucharist again preside and draw all people to you. Those who have wandered away from the fold, Lord, call them back and give us all the strength, give us all the humility that we need in order to reach across the aisles to our brothers and sisters, to welcome them home, and to, in many ways, welcome ourselves home when we have walked away from the beautiful teachings of the Catholic faith. And that we will humble ourselves. We will seek that beautiful humility and say, Lord, I am sorry for the times that I have disobeyed your commands, your laws, your will in my life. And I have come back as a suppliant child asking forgiveness. And then to seek the beautiful Eucharistic embrace. And as we do that for ourselves, for our immediate families, for those in our towns, our cities, our states, our country, and eventually that ripple effect can go out into the world. How magnificent. And so this song that is going to take us to the top of the hour today, At That First Eucharist, from me, your host, Julie Carrick.
At that first Eucharist, before you,
Again, thank you for spending this hour with me. It is such a privilege and such a joy to share the fullness of truth and the beauty of the Catholic faith. For information, please visit that site, wesingourfaith.org. wesingourfaith.org, that's the site. And once again, the toll-free number is 1-888-880-6874, and we are here to connect you. And now, until next week, may God bless you and keep you.
In your car, at the office, or in your home, we're always here. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
This is a Messy Family Minute with Mike and Alicia Hernan. We love the rosary, but when you have a group of rambunctious children, the thought of praying a family rosary can be kind of daunting.
Maybe it's because your ideal way of praying a family rosary doesn't match reality. Or maybe you've always found it just tough to pray the rosary. But it is a most powerful prayer. Our Lady gave it to us to encourage, protect, and sustain us.
You may feel like your family is bad at praying the rosary, but the good news is that there's lots of ways to use this powerful weapon of prayer. Prepare the environment. Get rid of phones. Put away distracting toys. Light candles. Wait till everyone's calm, maybe even on the way to bed.
Or take it outside. If your kids are too energetic, do a walking rosary. And don't forget car trips when the kids are locked in your vehicle. And a rosary on the way to Mass is a great preparation. For more on this topic, listen to our podcast on family prayer at messyfamilyminute.org.
Tarot cards, crystals, astrology, horoscopes. These are popular spiritual practices in our culture. And obvious actions against the First Commandment. But even practicing Catholics can fall into superstition and idolatry. Monsignor Charles Pope from Washington, D.C. will be with us for our next episode of The Quest to help us discern the false worship of other gods in our lives. So call in and ask your questions at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, this is Trent Horn from Catholic Answers. Has someone ever told you, we need abortion because the world is overpopulated? Resist the temptation to argue that the world is not overpopulated. You have enough to discuss just with abortion. Instead, I like to ask this hypothetical. Suppose not enough women choose abortion, and there are still too many people in the world. Would it be okay to force women to be sterilized or force them to have abortions? Most people would say no. But if it's wrong to force someone to have an abortion, even to deal with alleged overpopulation, isn't it also wrong to force someone, a child, to be aborted for the same reason? Now we're discussing the right question. Are the unborn human beings who deserve to be treated as humanely as the rest of us? This has been Trent Horn with a Catholic Answers Pro-Life Minute. For my free booklet that will make you better at defending human life, visit whywearepro-life.com.